By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church in Hudson, North Carolina. We'd like to welcome you to another episode. And tonight we are covering a very important topic, we feel, and something that is widely spread in America, we feel like, and we have some stats to prove that. It is the issue of, do Christians need to go to church? Now, our culture tells you that you should basically find a church that fits your style and fits your emotion and fits your needs. And we know that there's a lot of people that choose churches based on feelings and things like that. Is that correct? Is that the path we should take? Should we import our feelings and our preferences into things? Or should we take things as, the Bible teaches and accept the fact that we're all different individuals and God brings us together? What is the purpose of the church? How is it going to look in the future? All of these things we're going to talk about today. And I'm here with our pastor here at Ambassador Baptist Church, Robert Setzer. I'm Nathan Phillips. And we're going to be talking about these issues today, Pastor. That was just kind of my opening thoughts there, my opening lines to it. We've got a problem in America. We've got some issues with church attendance, church membership. We've got churches who don't even do membership anymore. How do you feel about that?
Well, Nathan, I would certainly agree with you that we are confused in our nation today in relation to a number of things as relates to Christianity, relates to the faith. I'm just a diehard believer in church. It's absolutely important. It's very important. It's important because Jesus made it important. Verse after verse talks about believers, born-again believers comprising the body of Christ. I mean, 1 Corinthians 10, 17, 12, 13, 12, 27, Ephesians 5, 30, verse after verse. And so, yes, I believe being a part of a local Bible-believing church is extremely important. Jesus said himself in Matthew 16, upon this rock I will build my church. It is the Lord's church. It's not our church. And, there's so many different directions we can go. I can say this. The Bible says in the book of Acts, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So, yes, I believe the church is very important to God's people.
I'm glad you brought up that verse, because that verse is very interesting to me. And it says that God did add to the church. Mm-hmm. And not only is that something that we feel like is universal, but that was also, in that context, that was the local church there in Jerusalem.
It was.
Now, we have this idea, I think, and I want to tread carefully because I don't want anybody to misunderstand me, but I think because maybe we feel like we've got a personal relationship and a personal space with God and the indwelling of the Spirit. And maybe some of these things affect the way that we feel like we've got a personal faith, and that we don't, we just believe what we believe, and we don't have to line up with anybody else, and we can be at home and worship, and we can do whatever we want to because it's personal. But I like a guy's distinction that he was talking about worship, and he said that worship is always personal, but it's never private. I like that distinction there when he's talking about, obviously the Holy Spirit indwells us. We're saved. It is the Spirit of God that moves us. But that doesn't take the place of church. It's not private in the sense of, well, that's all you got to do the rest of your life. You just sit there with the Spirit and that's it. No, it's a community. And like that verse mentions, God was adding to the church. So, I mean, it just logically follows that there's other people around.
No question about it. This church is very important, and it's extremely important to the success of every new believer that they unite with other fellow believers, you know, in a church community. You know, when a person would say, well, give me several reasons why it's important. I could say this, for example. Number one, it's obedience to the Lord, because he said himself in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Number two, corporate worship. Yes, you can worship God individually and privately, but that does not take away our need to come together and worship corporately. Biblical instruction, education. Number four, edification, encouragement from fellow believers, fellowship. And so these are just several very simplistic reasons here why the church is vital, not only to new believers, Nathan, but it is vital to me. I love the church. It's important to me. I need the church.
There is so much of a community aspect to Christianity that we need. Just like you were saying, the edification, all of those things come into play. And when I think about the Old Testament and the covenants back then too, and I'm not saying don't get me twisted here. I'm not saying that Israel and the church are the same thing. I'm just comparing Old Testament here. And when you think about the covenants back then, they were to one person, but that was never all it was ever about. When you think about Adam, those covenants, well, that affected the rest of humankind. Abraham, what happened in his covenant? Well, when he went home, all of his family become Jews, right? I mean, they all took part in that covenant. Mm-hmm. It was a household. And whenever, the Jews, whenever Moses leads them out, it was always a we thing. It was never an I. And I think we have to think about our Christianity in that respect, that it's we. It's not just I. And I think that in the culture that we're going, I think we're going backwards when we're taking away membership, we're taking away the community aspect of things, people going to church and saying things like, well, I'll have to go there to get lost in the crowd, you know, and not singled out, and I don't have to, you know, it's not just a couple hundred people there and everybody knows my name. I can just go there and just kind of fill a seat.
You know, Nathan, I don't want to go off on a tangent this evening, but I think we've maybe slightly lost our way a little bit in relation to what church is about and to what worship is about, to where We've become so self-absorbed. It's almost like we want to search for a church, like we'd search for a school for our kids, or we search for the latest and best shopping center, or the coolest community to live in. And I don't think that's what the church is about. We're assembled to worship the Lord God Almighty. It's not a matter of saying, I've got to find something that has the genre and the style of music that I enjoy. We're not going to a concert. We're going to worship God Almighty.
Oh, I don't think that's a tangent at all, because one of the things that I had written down in notes for me that I was thinking about was churches are kind of viewed nowadays as a type of service provider. And that's kind of what you were hinting towards. We left this church because it didn't have a youth program, or we left this church because it didn't have this or that, or, you know, the music just wasn't us, or, the lights were still on us as we sang, and I wanted to up on the praise band and all of this stuff. And I'm not knocking any of that stuff. I'm just saying that we choose churches based on what kind of service they can provide us. And I think we're in error there. It's not what the church can do for us. It's what we can do for the church.
You know, Nathan, as we speak about worship here, and I enjoy a variety of music, but there again, too, I don't think we can worship apart from the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And I know we've spoke before about this thing of worship. There is something about trying to enter into a spirit, an attitude of worship, trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and just trying to, what's the word you would use? Just trying to sense the presence and the awesomeness and the glory of the Lord God.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, part of that is that we don't know how to worship or haven't figured it out or whatever, because a lot of the focus is up on either the stage and it's on how it makes me feel.
Absolutely. We both are lovers of music. We both love music, you know, and different types and et cetera, stuff like this here. But, You know, that in itself, we can't depend on music to truly bring us to a place of worship. There is something just about contemplating God Almighty and His awesomeness.
This would be a different topic, but it ties in with this. But I think, too, we have forgotten the importance of the office of a pastor elder. What I mean by that is that, you know, I've heard people say that, well, I like this church or I like this preacher because he keeps it short. You know, I go in there and it's a 15 or 20 minute sermon, and they let all the song service and stuff like that. And the song service is incredibly disproportionate from God's word. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem I have with all of that, because it's not because I don't like music. I do. I love it. I play instruments. I think it's great. But I go to church to meet God.
Yes.
And how do I meet God? Well, there's a very simple answer to that, and that's through His Word. Well, who's speaking the words that we hear? Well, that's the pastor. That's the elders in the church. That's who we hear it from. There's only one way that you can guarantee that God is going to speak to you, and that's through the Bible.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And if we minimize that part of the service, then I'm not saying a guy has to stand up there for an hour. You know, I mean, we all know that, everything in moderation and proportion, but, you know, the idea that that part of the service or that isn't as important is antithetical to what Christianity is about. It is all about hearing the Word of God. I like some of the, when you hear some old sermons and even in some other denominations and things like that, I've heard people they'll read the Bible, they'll read the pastors they're going to preach out of, and then they'll say at the end of it, "This is the Word of God." Well, that's a great, I mean,
that is.
You wouldn't think that needs to be said, but it kind of just like emphasizes it to you. This is the Word of God. This isn't me.
I like that too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a
great.
But that's a problem, I think, with another part of our culture. It's just I know how to meet God, and it's through His Word.
Absolutely. And you know what? I am a pastor, and so when I stand up to preach, people don't need my views and my opinions on politics and the current news and all this, but we do need the Word of God. We need the Bible expositorily preached. We need to know, what does God say? And I'm telling you, God does have a message for us in 2017.
It does.
And it's so important that we just give out the Bible.
I think about one of the popular emergent church leaders who has said something like, you know, if you see our church, then you see a group of friends and with similar interests, similar likes, and all that stuff. And, I just don't think that's the way it operates.
No.
You know, the church is people from every tribe, kindred, tongue. And even in our church, in our local church, we have young people, we have old people, we have people of different races, we have all kinds of stuff and all different backgrounds. And it's pretty understandable that those people aren't going to have the same likes.
No,
they're not going to have the same interest all the time. They're not going to have the same likes. And you know what? That's okay. That is more than okay. That's you don't get to pick your friends for church. I mean, that's just not I don't think that's the way it should operate.
It's, you know, that's one of the
it's
reasons.
Not the way you grow.
One of the reasons that I really have a distaste for the way that our culture wants to segment us and separate us. You either have to be a baby boomer, or you're an elder, or you're a Gen X, or you're a millennial,
mm-hmm.
and whatever happened, we're just people. Some are a little older, some are a little
mm-hmm.
younger, but we got to learn to love each other and cooperate with and get along with each other. And so I don't want to just build a church based upon 30-somethings. Neither do I want to build a church based on 70-somethings,
mm-hmm.
you know? We're the church, the body of Christ.
And I'm not minimizing the fact that, I mean, those people, I mean, and every people, age group, all of that stuff needs to be reached. I mean, of course it does. But I don't think you have to, you know, sacrifice doctrine and I don't know, whatever else you want to fill in the blank there. But I don't think we have to sacrifice that to the altar of just getting people in the doors. I think the church has always been diverse, and it always always will be, and that's not the point of it. The point is to meet with God in His sanctuary.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you did mention millennials, and I ran across a survey in Barna, who is, you know, just does a lot of church-type statistics, and he talks about millennials and this problem, and like you said, you know, it's using all these different categories here, elders and baby boomers and all this stuff, and it's, you know, it is what it is, it's stats, but there is some pretty intriguing stuff, like 59% of millennials who grew up in the church have dropped out at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's staggering. That should catch our attention. There's stats like 50% of millennials haven't attended in the past 6 months,
mm-hmm.
Versus all Americans, which isn't really that much lower. I mean, probably somewhere in the 40s. You know, just going by these charts. I thought some of the more interesting things were stuff like this. Why do you attend church? 43% said to be closer to God. 31%, these are millennials, said, I need to learn more about God. And 11% said the church is God's hands and feet in the world. And, you know, I guess those are good things. I mean, 28% said, I've always attended church. That's not a good reason. You need to know why. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it.
I want you to comment on this right here. Another statistic that came out in that report, it says the majority of people, 61%, say they did not gain any significant or new insights regarding faith when they last attended.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that's more of a comment on. I don't know if that's a comment on someone's attention span or the content of a sermon or service, but probably a little bit of both in today's age. But I can't speak for all churches and everything like that. But there's definitely, when you start looking at some popular places and things like that, I mean, there definitely does seem to be a lot to be desired in the department of growing and learning about God. And
you know, the Bible makes it very plain that we are to be prepared to give an answer to every man that asks us of the faith. And then Paul himself said, you know, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. So we are admonished and even commanded to give out the word of God to people.
How the survey ends is, you know, the question, why don't you attend church? And 40% said, I find God elsewhere.
Mm.
Now, that's a huge problem. And I'm not, of course, denying the fact that God does move outside the church walls. Of course he does. But I think it's a guarantee that he will move inside the church walls. And why is that? Well, that's because the Word of God is read, and songs are sang about God, and the Spirit is lifted up, and Jesus Christ and God is glorified. I mean, it has to move in there. It has to. You have to find God in that sacred place if you're, you know, have your ears open for it.
Absolutely. Of course, we would have to probably drill down into the depths of this particular survey to find out, you know, their basis. Are they just asking the society at large? Are they asking professed believers?
Mm.
That I don't know.
I mean,
you know, some people claim spirituality and it has nothing really to do with a conversion, a genuine faith in Jesus, being a follower of Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, that's another big problem where, and it definitely is another subject, where people feel that they can be spiritual without religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a subject in and of itself, and I don't know exactly how that works there, but there has been, you know, all kinds of people like that. I think it was John Wayne. I know it's John Wayne. I don't remember if it's a movie quote or if it was something he said outside that, but he said, I like God until he gets under a roof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's a bad shape to be in. That's a poor comment on the church, I guess, but it's more on him that he feels stifled or restricted inside church walls. And I mean, that's just, and Benjamin Franklin felt the same way, you know, it's just stuffy doctrine and things like that. And yeah, it's true, doctrine does divide, but it also brings us together. You have to have it, Pastor.
It's the core tenets of our faith.
I want to talk about in the future on this podcast about some other things and what kind of shape we're in. Maybe next week we can talk about some of these issues. But I heard something recently, and this was at a, I believe it was at a pastoral conference, or a, maybe not a pastoral conference, but it was, no, I think it was. It was definitely a Bible conference, and I think it was even one focused on pastoral ministries. And a person went around asking if people were justified by works or by faith. And the answers will absolutely stun you. I mean, I can't even phrase it better than that. They shocked me. And so there is a much, much needed part of our American Christianity that needs some doctrine, some theology. And I know that's a bad word to people, but man, I don't know that we ever needed it more.
Hey, I agree. Christianity is not about us. It's not about any one man or his movement or whatever. This is about Jesus Christ and the words of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and it's about wanting to know more. It's about wanting to grow.
Be followers of Christ. Yeah, not some man's movement.
Theology only means the study of God.
There you go.
I mean, that's, who doesn't want to do that? Who doesn't? And I know it turns a lot of people off, but I mean, we have to be looking, I think, to know more about him. If not, I think we're going backwards.
Yeah, I agree.
The other stat that goes along with that, 40% said, I find God elsewhere. 35% said, church is not relevant to me personally. And there we have our culture in a nutshell. That's 75% of people that either find him elsewhere or it's not relevant to them. And of an age where we seem to try to be making things more and more relevant and focus things that way, people still don't seem to see it. And I think it's because they're not hearing the word of God.
Well, that's right. You know, Nathan, if anybody wants to check out some of these stats that you've talked about, they can always go to barna.com/research/ Americans Divided on the Importance of Church.
Yeah, that's the actual article there. It's a very, and like we've mentioned before, stats are can be skewed, and I mean, it always is because it's a small sampling. It's not the whole America. There's no way to do that, but it does give you an idea of, you know, the church and where we're at and what kind of shape we're in. One more thought here as we wind down. If we don't go to church, how would we ever see the fruits of the Spirit?
Really? Really?
I mean, it's self-explanatory. It's just a easily answered question. You don't.
Now, we are not saying, let me make this qualifier. We are not saying just go to any church or just the church of your choice.
Right.
We are encouraging, admonishing people to find a Bible-based church where the Bible is preached, it's believed, it's taught, and where the leadership is trying to be followers of Jesus Christ.
And we have patterned out all of those things and what those things are in previous episodes. So if you have any other questions on that, what are the core essentials of the faith? What are the fundamentals? Well, you can find it on our podcast page on iTunes and Podomatic. You can look us up on Facebook and Twitter as well under Ambassador Talks. For Pastor Robert Setzer, Nathan Phillips, we appreciate you listening to us and joining in our discussion where it's always outside the box but inside the Word. See you next week.